There you go.
Is it time to call the meeting, or do you think I should give a couple of minutes?
I think you can go ahead. I think we got pretty much.
Pretty much everybody? Okay. 8:05, let's call the meeting to order. Let's see, roll call. Who is not here? I want to see Mark. Is that it?
Oh, yes.
Matt.
That's got to be the only person missing.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Sounds good. Did everybody get a chance to look at the agenda? Mm-hmm. Do I have a motion to adopt the agenda?
I move to adopt
the
agenda. I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Motion carries. Perfect. Did everybody get a chance to look at the minutes from last time? Do I have a motion to adopt the approval of the minutes? Any seconds?
Second.
All right. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries. No. Announcements.
I just have one quick one. I just want to introduce Alex. He is our new intern. Hey. He is replacing Trevor. So he's going to be working with Economic Development. Unfortunately, he won't be at Economic Development too often because he actually has a class shortly after this, but he came this morning get a chance to meet
good
everybody.
Man. Good man.
So he'll be working with you guys just like Trevor did, and I just want to, he's a student. Go ahead and tell a little bit about yourself, Alex. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I go to UW-Green Bay. It's my third year over there. I'm a public administration major, with an emphasis in public policy. So just trying to learn as much as possible.
You learn a lot.
Well, you picked a good village to work with, I guess.
We do, yes. We appreciate our interns.
Yes.
Put it that way. We don't use them. We appreciate them.
Okay. Any other announcements? Let's move on to public appearances. Any? Nope.
When you say public appearances, what exactly are you meaning? The village itself, or like us as individuals, or what?
Probably some. What would you guess?
It's if there's a guest here that wants to speak on anything that maybe is not on the agenda that they want to bring up, or if either one of you would like to speak on something maybe that's not on the agenda. It's not necessarily for staff or for anybody else. It's for the public.
So, like Jim, he's a visitor. Do you have any public appearance items?
No, I'll just talk. I'd just like to be able to participate in the historic conversation afterwards. But the reason that the public appearances is important to be on your minutes is because it tells the community when the meeting is and that there's something important going on and that they should, if they have something to bring up that you want to consider, that that's the time for them to introduce it. So it's important that it's on the minutes, even though nobody shows up.
Thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Good question, Diane. Okay, should we move on to the intensive survey? Are you ready? Are you Barb?
I am, yes I am.
Barb, you can just come up to the table if you want, Barb, or whatever.
I'm the chairperson of the Historic Preservation Committee. And, to explain the intensive survey and answer questions about it, we had applied for a grant through the State Historic Society, and the village was awarded the grant to have the intensive survey done. It was about a $22,000 grant, and we went through the hiring process, the interviewing process, and hired Legacy Architects out of Sheboygan to do the survey for the village. They started surveying in October of 2012, and I believe they completed it in July of 2013. It included driving through the village, identifying business or buildings that were eligible to be placed on the National Register of Historic Places. Their findings went to the Historic Preservation Committee, and we approved the survey, sent it on to the Village Board, and the Village Board approved it last fall. The survey identifies three potential historic districts, as well as 13 individually eligible structures. Of the individually eligible structures, nine of them are houses, and four of them are other buildings or structures. The bridge that goes across the Fox River, that is eligible to be listed. The Bishop Fox Mausoleum, the Alloway Community Center on Webster Avenue, and the Alloway Waterworks Building on Green Avenue. And then some of the houses are some of them, yes.
Which bridge?
The bridge that turns.
The railroad bridge?
The railroad bridge.
Oh,
the
railroad bridge.
Okay.
She's thinking one
time,
too.
No,
I was thinking
it. No, that's not quite old enough.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The railroad bridge.
Okay.
The study goes through the all of the, I don't know if anybody's had a chance to look, I believe this is on our website.
Yep.
We do have a few copies at the village here.
There's one at the library, too.
Right downtown is at the history department. And they do go through the different buildings. They give a brief history on the village. And then they go through some of the different buildings. They identify the builder, if we knew the builder, the type of building, the style, the year it was constructed, and why it's unique. They were very precise in what they would allow to be on the National Register. If somebody had put vinyl siding on or maybe put an addition on their home that changed the look, it would not be eligible. So we were... Pardon?
Windows.
And different windows, garage doors, front doors. So we were a little disappointed that some of the homes that we thought were really neat and old, like the Quatzel house that's next to the CVS, isn't eligible to be listed because that one has vinyl siding. So there were some disappointments, but the houses, some of the houses you might recognize would be the Murphy Coles estate would be eligible, the Bernard Darling house, which is on Green, the big house. The Roger Minahan house, which is the one when you're coming down Langley, and it's kind of right there. The Don Hudson house. The Jerome Gallagher house on Roselawn. The Vince Lombardi house, which is also part of a potential historic district. The Jack Brusky lives there now. It was the Greiling house. George, and that one's on Webster, kind of across from
right
St. Matt's. Right. With the tile
the
roof.
House.
Yeah, that's pretty, yeah.
The George Richardson house on Webster and the Albert Neufeld house on Whitney. The three historic districts are, there's one that they've identified called Robinson Hill.
Before you get into that, all those houses that you listed, what do they qualify? What are they eligible for?
Were they the nine that you said?
Those were the nine houses. They're eligible for individual listing on the National Register of Historic Places.
Okay.
Because they're pretty much intact from when they were historic or when they were originally built.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question? Mm-hmm. What's the advantage of being listed that way, other than now you can't change your windows?
There are some tax credit advantages, and I did have some information on it. This was mainly about... This came from the state, and it identifies their program that they have. I don't have a lot of information on that. There's a section in the back of the intensive survey that talks about the tax credits, and then there's the person's name on the bottom that's in charge of working with this part of the state on people and businesses that are looking for tax credits.
Mm. Are these people happy that they're on this list?
They don't. They might not know. You know, we haven't contacted everybody individually. Right now, we're working on having the village community center and the water building listed. We're kind of taking baby steps. Mm-hmm. We don't know what the procedure is. We've applied for a grant. We find out at the end of the month if we've been awarded the grant to have the work done to have those two buildings listed. After that, we don't know if we want to contact the homes, if we should look at the historic districts. Mary Jane Herbert from the DePere Historic Preservation Commission is coming to our next meeting to let us know how they work through their intensive survey. They're almost complete with their intensive survey as far as going through and having everything listed that was eligible for listing. So we're going to get some advice from her whether we should be having public meetings, whether we should be sending out letters, which is the best route to go.
Matt, was that the question you asked? I didn't hear who asked that last question. If they're glad, was that you?
Yeah, that was me.
It doesn't mean just because
they're eligible, but they're not
that they would list themselves, right?
Well,
they could choose.
Right. For the individual ones. Now, that for the historic district, we will have to contact everybody in the district. And the largest district is the Robinson Hill District. That's up in Alloway Terrace, South Van Buren, South Jackson, Derby, Catherine, and Alloway Place. There are 74 contributing and 10 non-contributing. So that would be an 84-home historic district. There are 10 that... when they do the outline, they have to have like 80 to 90% of the homes in the outlined area that would be contributing to the historic district that would be historically intact. Of the 84, 10 of them are not. They've had additions. They've made some changes. So those would not be, we would look at those differently than we would the contributing ones.
Can you tell us, and I know I read a lot of this, but I don't recall, what's significant about that area that would be chosen? Why are they saying that?
They look at buildings that are...
Yeah, I know what they... Yeah, but I know they what look they look at, but really what is...
That era, for
okay,
that
so
area,
the buildings
all built,
are all built in that same
right
time period.
That there's something that kind of makes
them
all
together.
Go together as the neighborhood.
Yeah. Got it.
And
they didn't say what that special thing is. They just said that
right. Mainly, they just said they were built between this year and this year,
and that's what was the cohesive part to make it into. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And do the homeowners get it? So the homeowners individually get a say about whether or not they want their individual house. Do they get a say on the district also?
Well, we have to have a meeting and invite everybody that would be eligible, and we'd need to have, I think it was 40% buy-in or buy 40% maximum buyout or 40. We need a 60% buy-in, I think, from the neighborhood before we can go ahead and work towards helping them have that listed. So if the neighbors don't want it, then they don't have to be.
And if they're part of the district, what does that mean in terms of selling their house later on or doing improvements to the house and stuff like that?
There's two different ways to looking at that in our historic preservation ordinance. If you're locally designated, I believe, then we have more say over what needs what can and can't be done. Then you would need the certificate of appropriateness. I'm not sure that you would need that for just the national. Would you?
I don't think so.
I didn't think so. So, like, when I spoke with DePere, and they have some large historic districts and a lot of historic houses, and I asked how many they have listed as local landmarks, and Mary Jane said that they didn't have any or they didn't encourage it because that does put restrictions on people. Once they're designated as a local landmark, they need to come in if they wanted to paint their front door red. They would have to come in and fill out their certificate of appropriateness form. It would go before the preservation committee, and we would decide whether that would be appropriate. So there are a little more restrictions on them if they're locally designated. Now, if you're on the National Register of Historic Places, the village doesn't have that type of control over you. I'm not sure what it says in your national listing, if what you are not allowed to do or what you are restricted on. But
yeah, we haven't gotten quite that far to know exactly how that impacts them.
So if there was a, my understanding is that the local designation has all the enforcement action, all the enforcement powers.
Yes.
So you can fine people up to a maximum of like $10,000 a day. So
you can fine them on top of it?
I don't know where you're getting
that
fines from.
I'm not sure about that, but I know that if you went ahead and did some changes to your house, you know that you were supposed to come before the preservation committee for their approval prior to doing anything.
So it's the local landmarking that people get upset about. So there's nothing, the federal thing is always a good thing. It's all carrot. It's all advantage. The state is all advantage. It's the local landmarking that people have problems with.
And we do have some buildings in the village that are currently on the National Register of Historic Places. There's several buildings within Heritage Hill, within the Reformatory property, and then there is one house on Taft Street. I think it's the third house in on the north side of the street. And it was designed by an architect that worked with Frank Lloyd Wright. So that house is on the National Register. Otherwise, we don't have any other properties. Are there any other questions on that?
Lots of good information.
One last thing, just for the purpose of the minutes, listed the other one, the nine properties or whatever that are eligible, what's listed on, what's the actual name of the thing that they're listed on?
They're listed under the original owner's name.
Oh, no, I meant you said they're eligible. They're individually eligible for something. What are they?
For the National Register.
Okay.
The historic places.
Okay, thank you.
And then can you tell us how many districts were originally identified by the contractor and then... how the state whittled it down, how the criteria they used to whittle it down.
Sure. The contractor, there are legacy architects, and initially thought that we would have 13 historic districts, and then somebody came up from the state historic society and drove the area with her, and then they dropped it down to 3. They thought that there were some changes on some of the buildings that she had originally identified that maybe she didn't notice.
Okay. So they dropped 10. They dropped it. And most of those, and this is where I was concerned, so I've been having a lot of concerns with the state on that, is that we have Old Alloway, which is from a realtor standpoint, you know, our key marketing aspect of it. And I felt that those neighborhoods were quite a bit better than the neighborhoods that they had selected, and I was questioning the criteria they used. So the Old Alloway, which would be what's called the Green and Roman subdivision and the Sunlight Park subdivision, and now more currently the homes that were built in the 50s around the Old Town and Country, those now qualify. So there's a lot here in Alloway that I felt qualifies for that should have been better documented.
And
so we lost 10 districts. And
that's a lot to lose.
Yeah.
And I know there was some concern about the Sunlight Park, which is St. Francis and Arrowhead. So when the state came up last month, we did have him go through, and he took a map with him. And I didn't ask for details. I didn't drive that route with him. But he wasn't the person that originally had knocked off those other 10 districts. And he said he went through and he marked the ones. And he said, I can see where there's the differences, and I see why. So at least we had a second opinion on that one. So we just didn't take the one person's word. Another district that we have is on Miramar. There are 26 houses. One of the houses does front on Ducharme and does have a Ducharme address. Of that potential district, 23 homes are contributing and 3 are not contributing. And then on Sunset Circle, which would include the Vince Lombardi house, all 16 houses on Sunset Circle could potentially be a historic district if they choose to be.
Where's Sunset Circle? That, where that by?
Southern part of the village.
By Sunset Park.
Sunset Park.
Over by Arrowhead.
Across Riverside.
Yeah. The opposite side.
And what's the youngest house that's qualified?
The youngest house that they're considering contributing is 1987, which
that's
kind of questionable
young.
Because you do have to be the 40 years old.
50 years
50
old.
50 years old to be considered historic, so we did question that. Yes?
If you put your house on this list, do people drive around the country and look at homes? I mean, do people have any concern of putting their house on a historic site because it'd draw attention to their house?
They might, right? And that might be why somebody doesn't want to be a part of a district, or if you're on the individually eligible list.
But sure. People do take trips and drive around and take pictures of these homes in
there's a
other
listing
cities.
And once we found out that there was one on Taft Street, because nobody really knew that, everybody on historic conservation was driving around trying
sure.
to figure out which one it was. So.
Well, and that's not always a bad thing, because when I was in North Carolina, they had a little district like that, and then they had a little sheet where you could walk it. And it was all houses that were bought out of the Sears and Roebuck catalog. It's cool. It's just, it wasn't anything really elaborate or anything else, but you had a little paper you could follow. 10,
15 minutes.
So people do, like if you're visiting.
Oh, sure,
the
right.
Houses by,
but people may not want people
tours.
Looking at their homes, is I guess
right.
what I'm trying to say.
Privacy issues.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, and I understand the people in Sunset Circle are a little bit more private, and they might not want the traffic in their neighborhoods. So, you know, like I said, we'd have to have the 60% buy-in, and if it isn't there, then we wouldn't pursue that. So with the next historic preservation meeting at the end of February, we will be trying to figure out where we go from here, and we're using this as our guide.
Sorry, then Jim, I was going to see if it was going to be answered, but you said you quarreled with the state a little bit. What are some of the issues that you kind of battled with them a little bit?
The biggest thing I had that would impact this committee was the development of the village along the trolley lines from the 1890s and 1900s that established our business districts as nodes instead of a central business district. So, for example, the Schrader's Flowers was a trolley stop, and then we had a business center that developed along there. Where the CVS was, there was a trolley stop there because that's where the school was. We had a business develop along there, and we had small homes that are nationally important that were developed along the trolley stop. So we're what's called a trolley suburb, and they completely missed that. So, you know, that's the development how our community developed as nodes instead of as a central business district, I thought was a key component that they missed.
And those little brick houses at the top there on Alloway Avenue by the school, aren't those like 100 years old? I mean, I think those are really old buildings.
Yeah, so that all along, there was a... Alloway got started following the Chicago World's Fair. Everybody went down to Chicago and saw how to develop suburbs, and they came up here, and we became... They tried to establish the city of Alloway with these master plan communities. Guy went bankrupt, but they still put in the trolley lines, and then we still developed along the trolley lines so you could walk within all the houses within about two blocks of Webster Avenue along the along Webster Avenue. Those were developed first, so that's why you see those high quality small homes that were built in the 30s during the Depression. We had the infrastructure already in place, so during the different programs that were put in place by the federal government to get people back to work, we had the land and the infrastructure so that we could start building our community. So we had a building boom during the Depression, which was kind of unique to our community.
So how come those houses wouldn't be considered?
I didn't look at those. Did they add some vinyl siding, siding? They must have done something.
Those are beautiful.
They're stone. I don't know. They're the cutest little houses. No driveway.
I can't picture.
They're horrible with the driveways thing. But, I mean, they're cute little houses. They're right behind, well, you know where the car wash is?
Mm-hmm.
Right behind there on Alloway.
Okay.
There's two of them right next to each other, like they were built at the same time.
Alloway developed a little differently than the other places. We had land developers who developed the subdivisions, and then they sold it off to in blocks to different builders. So what the state was looking for is, as you drive down the street, he wanted the same building style and everything identical, kind of a cookie cutter thing, whereas in our builders bought one block here and one block here, and so you had different sides of the street, you had different builders.
Yeah.
But that's unique, and that's actually very, very important. So if you look at Green and Roman, and that's the Libel subdivision, but if you look at the different
awesome
builders that are there, and those are on the county websites, is which builders bought those lots.
And that issue came up a few times, but the gentleman from the state kept going back to the cohesiveness of a neighborhood, so that when you're in it, you know it looks different. And that's not really...
That's not true with Alloway. It's sort of mishmash.
Yes.
Like a patchwork quilt. I mean,
right.
You got houses 100 years, 200 years, and then you got one that's not...
Yeah, and that's how they identify the districts.
Right.
So there's
so
a
that's why. Okay.
And as far as an individual home, they like to look for examples of specific architectural styles. So the nine that were out that are individually eligible, there's the Mediterranean Revival, there's the Georgian Revival. So if those don't fit into a certain category, they want to find the best house in that category, or the best few houses in that, those are the ones that they want to have be eligible.
Okay.
So if those aren't the best of a certain style that they could actually pinpoint, that's why they weren't
included.
That
makes a lot more sense.
So,
And
my argument to the village, to the state, and they got upset with this, was that they like a cookie cutter when you drive into a community. They like a planned community, and they like the cookie cutter. And I explained to him that we, with the 200-year history, we had layers. We started as farms. We started with large lots, and those were developed first, and then those larger lots got subdivided, like the Murphy Coles estate, into smaller lots. So we have layers instead of cookie cutter, and I think that we still qualify if you get rid of the cookie cutter mindset and say, how did you develop? Because that's what this survey was supposed to do, is how do you develop?
But it isn't the criteria that they use.
Right.
So we have to go with the criteria that's used by the state.
Yeah.
That's
But
the
I
issue.
Do see your side of it, too.
And we do have a really
like
great...
Like the gentleman said, we have a great history, and Jim knows a lot of that history.
Oh, sure.
And it doesn't mean that history can't be used in other ways. It just doesn't fit for what they did.
What they want to do.
Right.
And
the
there was
purpose.
One question, and I'll shut up. there's a vacancy on the committee now, and I'd like to encourage the people along Riverside Drive to get on that committee, because the one advantage of being on that committee is you can locally landmark. If you have a landmark that you want done, you can protect that You can't completely stop Riverside Drive from expanding from its current roadbed, but you can make the city listen, the state listen to you a whole lot better.
If it's a landmark, though,
locally
designated. The village has, because we're what's called a certified local government, uh-huh. the village has the power, more power than the state, uh-huh. the village has the power to designate, for example, the Murphy Coles Gate.
But it isn't right now.
The village can, if the village,
the village says,
we looked at, because the state liked the Murphy Coles estate, they liked the buildings, but they didn't include the whole property. They didn't include the gate, which is a structure. So if the village decides that they want to designate that as a local landmark, they can make the state listen to them. Mm-hmm. They can't completely stop the expansion of it, but they can... those neighbors can say, we want that as a landmark, and then the state has to jump through some hoops, and then they negotiate with you, and then they come up with a better plan.
Now, if something is designated as a local landmark, that isn't going to keep it from being torn down or raised.
Right.
The way that the ordinance is written, that if something is designated and if somebody wants to come in and raise that in the future, there's, I think, like a 90-day waiting period where that would allow for anybody that's interested in the history of the building to have the time to do a little more research on it or take pictures or whatever they would want to do before it would be torn down. Now, if it was on the National Register of Historic Places, that's a little harder to get something raised, and that's why when we've applied for the grant for the Water Department building on Green, I believe it's for sale, isn't it? The Water
mm-hmm.
Department building?
Well,
it was.
Okay.
But the village is a little hesitant about having that be on the National Register, because if somebody wanted that property and not the building, what would the impacts be? And then there are a lot more hoops to jump through if it's already been listed.
Here's, I'll just pass this around, you guys need to just look at it, but here we have one person or one business owner that has a historic landmark nomination, so we have one locally designated facility in Alloway right now. So
which
this is
the guard house?
It's the guardhouse at Heritage Hill.
Oh,
so this is their application for it, and then up front, like Barb had mentioned, there's a certificate of appropriateness. So when they started to do work on that facility and restore it, they had to come back to the committee and work with the building inspector and make sure that things that they were doing were historically significant. So this was their application. So for the residents that, let's say they wanted to put that fence on locally designated, they would need to go through this process as well, and it's all laid out in our ordinance, and it's not too cumbersome, but there's a lot of information, as you can see, that needs to be provided so that the committee can make an informed decision. So this is just one that we've had. We haven't had any other ones, but just to give you an idea of the process and how it works and, you know, how we went through it and what was required. And it has to be registered with the Brown County, so it's actually attached to the property, so anybody looking at it knows that this is a local landmark.
So the applicant would have to be one of the homeowners along
the applicant. Somebody else can nominate it, but the owner has to be involved, because it is going to put restrictions on their property.
Okay.
I don't think so. I think that anybody can nominate it, and the owner has a say in it, but the owner doesn't have a veto power.
The owner has to sign the application, so if the owner does not wish to have that as a local landmark, something on their property that would be putting a restriction on their property, they don't have to agree to that.
Right.
And that's how our application was written, and that was modeled after other communities.
So the owner can opt out of local landmark designation.
Yes. The owner has to buy into it. Right?
They can opt out.
They have to sign the application.
Okay. We got to keep moving. So, Barb, I really appreciate. Is there anything else you wanted to quick say? Or?
If anybody has any questions, this is.
Can they call you?
Sure, go ahead, call me, email me. It's on the village website. This is on the village website. It's a very good document. So it's a long one. It's a big one. And we are looking at working towards having some of these properties that were identified listed on the National Register.
Good job. A lot of work.
Thank you.
Very interesting.
Fred, you're up next.
All right, small box development. I didn't make enough copies, so maybe you can share.
Sure.
I got bored doing some drawings.
Okay.
Thank you,
Bob. We can share. Sure.
Do you want to share that?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay, you can flip it. I'll just kind of watch the side. Because I don't know. You're more familiar, at least.
This is a database that we use to identify developments for particular areas. what might be the best development in a particular area. So if we're looking for small box development in Alloway, what you do is you pick a specific property. So I picked the old Village Hall site, 1649 South Webster. And
is that the yellow one?
Yes, the one that's identified in yellow. That's the parcel. And on latitude and longitude. So you get the picture. Then if you turn the page, you see that normally when you're doing development in retail, they look at 5, 10, and 15-minute drive time for the selected property. They want to know what types of people might come to their particular store. So this map shows what's the 5-minute drive time, and then there's the 10-minute drive time from that particular parcel. The third page tells you the traffic counts. Very important for retail development is how many cars pass my particular area or my particular intersection. So in the yellow there is the old Village Hall site. You can see that the traffic on an average daily basis is 14,400 cars pass that site one way or the other.
What is considered, real quick, small box development? How do you designate that? What would you consider that?
Well, it would be either commercial or retail development that is individual stores. It would not be a strip mall. It would not be a big box like Kmart or Walmart or Costco or things like that. So
be like a Walgreens or a Shopko Express.
Could be a Walgreens, a Shopko Express. It could be a.
Great for
could be a Barnes and Noble. It could be a dental office. It could be, a doctor's office. But it's individual standalone type.
Do you have like a square foot, like 4,000?
Yeah,
No. But they're not 150,000. They're relatively small. So that's the traffic counts. I'll say that the traffic count is fairly respectable. If you look at Military and Mason, that's probably about 19,000-20,000. So this is respectable amounts. Thing that surprised me is I would have expected Riverside to have a higher traffic count than Webster, but it doesn't.
Wow.
So that was a little bit surprising to me. Next is a whole series of information about, and this is the 5-minute drive time from that area. This talks about the number of households, the population, and housing units within a 5-minute drive time. And this system does current and 2010 based upon the census data. So a lot of that statistics is by census data. Then there's probably the 5 pages attached behind this first one that gives you every kind of statistic you ever want to know about who's living in that area.
Wow.
It's racial, it's age, it's income, it's average number of people in households, it's education levels. Again,
everything.
Everything you'd ever want to know about anyone living in that particular property, but that's not as significant. If you go to the page says demographic and income profile.
You don't need a page number.
Well,
right before the pie chart page.
Right before the pie chart.
Okay, there you go.
Okay. If you look at that page, now we're starting to get into things that retailers look for. Okay. What's the average household income in my area? We've been trying for many years to get Whole Foods Market into the town.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to happen. They look for household incomes of about $74,000. And you can see that I think Brown County is about $56,000. This particular area, the 5-minute drive time, of this area is fairly low. It's $44,000. So you're going to rule out a lot of retailers that will not come here because the average household income of the people that are probably going to shop at their store is too low for them to buy the merchandise they carry in their stores.
Yeah.
So this is a very, very key point.
So we need to make more money.
Right.
Then we need bigger houses.
what's the median in Brown County? Do you have...
Yeah.
Do you have an idea what the median is in Brown County?
56.
56.
For all of Brown County. Yep. Then the pie charts just basically tell you the same information in different formats. Okay? Then 10, 12 pages talk about...
I'm really sorry, just a real quick question. Yeah. I was under the impression that maybe Alloway, DePere area kind of was a little bit more higher income area in the county. What area in the county is actually, because this is actually kind of low for a five-minute drive time, what area in the county is really the high income? Is that the Howard, Suamico area that's really driving that, or is there other areas that are really...
Ledgeview.
Really?
Yeah, Ledgeview's got all the...
Hobart, Ledgeview.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thornberry Creek area and
sure.
The...
The Ledgeview's.
Money was always there. When I was a kid.
On the east side, right?
It was an Alloway one.
Yes.
So yeah. Was it?
Oh, yeah.
When I was a kid, all the
Alloway used to be.
Yeah,
I mean,
it was an Alloway one.
Alloway used to be the top, but now it's all moved further out.
Yeah. Thanks, sir.
A lot of that has to do with school choice, too. Because you don't want to go to east.
You're built in, so you can't build a homestead.
If you go, if you turn back 5 or 6 pages, there's
towards the beginning or towards the end?
Towards the end. Keep going logically.
Retail market place profile. It says on the top.
Right when we get to the orange stuff, right?
Yeah.
Yep, right there. Okay. If you look at the page with the lines, the orange lines going to left or right.
Going the wrong way.
Oh, interesting. I think more.
These? Looks like this orange.
This orange.
That orange. More orange.
Too far.
Orange.
Okay, too far.
I think you're too far here.
Oh, there we go. We
got
some bars.
If you look, this gets kind of to the heart of what retailers look for. This is what's called the leakage survey. And this says within the 5 minute drive time of that parcel, is there more supply for a product than there is demand, which would be a left of that straight line, or is there more demand in an area for a product than is available in that area, which is all those lines that go to the right.
So you don't want to be on the left side?
No.
Basically.
No, you don't. Well, it doesn't matter where you are. It's just that you start to look at those that are on the right side of that line, that you have more demand in this 5 minute drive time area than there is supply. So that's the type of business.
So we're good with personal care. We don't need any more personal care.
And
right.
Florists.
And florists. Schrader, Schrader
Dominant and florists.
Well, and CVS got us covered too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So if you look at that, you have more supply in a 5 minute drive time of that parcel than you've got demand. So anything to the right. Motor vehicle dealers, non-store retailers, general merchandise stores, sporting goods, hobby book, those are the categories that you can demand of retailers that you've got a parcel that should be attractive to them because there is more demand in the area than there is supply.
Sure. Yeah, beer, wine, and liquor. I love it.
Silica
and electronic stores and things like that. Yeah, there's nothing around.
Right.
Sears.
Like a Radio Shack or something.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know if Radio Shack's even close enough. So I saw that in the paper. They had a cool commercial there.
Oh, these guys can't compete with the internet.
I was just going to have you.
Do you have a question?
No.
Oh, okay. So this is at a very high level. If you turn the page, you start to break down those large sector industry clusters into subsectors. And you can see on that page that you've got some more positives, but you also have some negatives. Motor vehicle dealers, okay, automotive dealers, auto parts stores,
well,
electronics.
That's the only one we had.
Right. Specialty food stores. Beer, wine, and liquor. Health, shoe store, jewelry, leather goods, book, periodical, music stores. Your Barnes and Noble. So you would want to identify potential small box retailers that fit into the right side of the category.
On this page. Am I looking on the right page? Retail marketplace profile.
Yep.
Yeah, you're looking at the right one.
I'm looking at the right one, and we want to look for things that are on the right side.
Correct. That means that you've got more demand in this area than there is supply.
So the bottom chart then, right?
when you're looking at this, what you were going through the shoot, that's going to be on this bottom chart on this page.
Right.
Right here.
I guess I have a question. I get the 5 mile radius thing, but
5 minute.
5 minute. 5 minute radius thing, but I live within 5 minute radius, and really, I never shopped at Brennan Buick. I always went, you know, wherever I was. And no, seriously though, and you're looking at these charts and they make sense in a way, but think of electronics. I buy everything online. You know,
or
so
you go to Best Buy or
right.
Yeah, but I,
it's so close. I mean, I could jump the river
night.
In 5 minutes.
There was no place to get the fuses for the car.
Right, but you could have gone somewhere. I mean, it's not like it's far. You can always run to the.
Well, that's any community.
In a 5 minute radius.
That's any community.
Okay. Number don't one, you think that they have to start thinking about how the internet works now and when they're doing these studies? I mean, the impact of buying online is really changing how our communities look. I think you almost have to consider you need the social areas. Like Barnes & Noble's makes sense because people like to gather and
she
have coffee.
Yeah.
I want Barnes & Noble. Or maybe like a Perkins or something in our
they
area.
They can just go, if you're looking at the 5 minute thing, though, they can go to, what is that place over by Goodwill or whatever that has the internet cafe thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
I mean, that's
many?
Only 10 minutes away.
Harmony Cafe. Yeah.
So, I mean, if to follow your line of thought, I guess, that's only 10 minutes away, so why can't they just drive there?
Yeah. I don't know. I guess you're right. I just was
or
wondering
Village
if
Grill.
They,
I would you have breakfast at Village Grill.
I do like it there now that they added the boost. But seriously, what I guess I'm thinking is I see the study and I'm wondering, do they take into consideration the changing way of shopping?
No.
They don't. There's no real.
Not at this point.
Yeah,
I think
it's
that
early.
I think that this last Christmas shopping season was kind of an inflection point.
Mm-hmm.
That the retail store traffic was down significantly and the online was up, but this is used by every retailer in the world.
Mm-hmm.
This is a program that if you go to India, the retailers, they all look at. This is the Bible. This is where they make their decisions on where they're going to put their stores.
And you think that's
I think it's going to change. I think it is changing with the internet shopping and that,
mm-hmm.
but they didn't believe it was real. They still feel most of these retailers still feel that people want to touch and feel something before
right.
they buy it.
I do that. I never shop on the internet.
Mm.
Just because I got to
well,
look at
something's
it.
Well, there's some things you won't buy on the internet.
Yeah,
yeah.
I won't buy anything.
You know, like a car.
But
yeah.
it is changing.
Right.
And I think this
that's
last shopping season, the Christmas shopping season, all the statistics
are
going to drive it
out.
So, but
I mean,
right now, this
me
is
wrong.
The thing.
I like to shop on occasion. I'm not a weird person, but I just wanted to know how they affected the. I mean, I just see it as being, you know, the drones are coming,
mm-hmm.
and when the drones come,
to drop off a package.
Yeah, I mean, sorry, but it changes everything.
So there's
not
a lot of developers that are getting out of the big box. You know, you even heard rumors that like you know Hobby Lobby, but that's a different reason. But there's different things happening. Best Buy may consider. No, Fred, you know way more than this, but you hear in the news that Best Buy at times may consider reducing their store size, but keeping their store size. So I think what Fred's suggesting is we're looking at is more of a small box, which is a more usable space than a big 40,000 square foot unit, and probably a little more reasonable for Alloway, which.
Sort of like the theory with H.G. Craig. You can go in there, but you can't get anything.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
Well,
but go to the store and get
it. The touching thing is true. You go in, you touch it, you may go home and buy it online.
You know what? Best Buy is probably in 5 to 7 years going to be out of business. Because what's happening to Best Buy is people go to Best Buy to see the TV, to look at all the
that's
features,
right.
and then they go online and buy it from Amazon.
Yes, exactly.
They don't buy it in Best Buy. They go.
I would do
they
could
touch
they buy
it
online from Best Buy?
Yeah,
sure.
But they're
sure.
more expensive.
Yeah.
So
they
are
go
expensive,
online, it's the
so.
Same TV, same
model.
I can
see it.
I can
see
$100 on Amazon.
Here's
really?
The
oh, yeah.
I love Amazon.
Yeah. But that's what's happening to the Best Buy. That's probably why they're reducing their store size.
Yeah, the CEO actually just released a statement saying that he's sick of that happening.
Did he? Yeah.
Showcasing or
yeah, but again, it just reinforces that there's things that you don't want to buy online, at least at this point. The younger generation may be more adaptable to it, but our generation still want to touch it, feel it. Make sure that it has all the features that they want, and then they'll go buy it somewhere else. But
mm-hmm.
they still want to touch and feel it. So, mm-hmm. but
And some things you just would never buy. You know, garden and supply. You're gardening in the spring. You're not going to go. You're not going to stop and buy it online.
Trouble online or whatever.
It's convenient if this place is right next to your house. You're going to stop there and grab the garden.
Lawn Traders has awesome stuff.
Fred, do you go? I'm sorry. I just
no
time.
Please.
But do you go to 5 minutes away on, let's say, Oneida Street, which is in the 5 minute? Do they have the same graph as us?
No. No, because their housing is going to be different. The population density may be different. The income may be different.
Which
so
is why
this
I'm just
is just for
that
the
to go, to
this address right here, right?
To say that they're within a 5 minute drive time, but their graph looks completely different than
correct.
Ours.
Oh yeah,
right. Because this
right.
is
right.
the address.
So our
yeah.
in our area is needed. With some of
this is very interesting, Fred. So
oh,
it's
very
you know,
interesting.
Well, you got two more things on there.
I think
just
we want to keep moving.
Well, let's just you got two more little things quick.
Yeah, let me go. There's a section back here, dominant tapestry site map. And there are 66 different segments of the population that's been identified by Esri.
Thank you.
And if you look at the 5 minute drive time of this site, the five top tapestry segments are prosperous empty nesters, city dimensions, retirement communities, Rust Belt traditions, and great expectations. Okay? Keep going.
I'm just seeing all of them?
Yep.
But not the hours.
So if you look there, the top five of this parcel, and then I've given you the segment on each of those definitions, okay? And if you look at one of them, the top one here is prosperous empty nesters. And it says, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but if you look at the press preferences, prosperous empty nesters value their health and financial well-being. Their investments include annuities, certificates of deposit, longer 6 months, mutual funds, money market funds, tax-exempt common stock. They hold universal life insurance. And it goes on to talk about some of those things. They refinish furniture and play golf. They also attend golf tournaments, sporting events, particularly baseball games, college football games. They order by phone from catalogs and use coupons. Households are likely to own or lease a luxury car. Then you look at the last paragraph there, okay? And it says, it gives you a demographic of the majority of people
shopper?
That live in there.
Yep. Wow.
So they also look at those type of things when they make a decision. And it's more as what goods are they going to put in their store. So I just thought I'd share that. But that's how we go about in economic development. Right now I'm working with Austin's Trouble Airport on some property that they own on 172 in Packerland. And we're doing this same thing in grocery stores very high there and that. But this is what economic development does. This is what the retailers do. You can go and talk to any of the site selectors for these large retailers. Walmart did this on Broadway. And that's why Walmart is not going to move 9 blocks away from that site out to Atkinson Drive on Velp. Because the demographics change,
right.
Or it overlaps with one of their other stores. I mean, they're adamant, and this data would, if you ran it on that site on Broadway, fits their demographics that they would expect that a 150,000 square foot store would be highly profitable on that site, but it's not going to work 9 blocks away. That's been the contention between Mayor Schmidt and Walmart. They do not want to downsize it, because they see the profitability being as the larger store, supporting the larger store.
Based on this, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And they also don't want to move it 9 blocks north or 9 blocks west, because then it's going to hit their West Mason store because of the traffic coming over the bridge on 43 and that from the Upper Peninsula and Door County that now go over to that Walmart. So,
but that kind of explain, too, I think, to me, why the developers that we've talked to for different things always want to build retirement communities.
Yeah.
Yep. Because we have all these.
Because this shows why we would want that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
That's what they see. That's
yep.
what's going to go.
And if that happens, I mean, if the city gets a development there, then you do some of this around retirement community
correct.
Themes. What type of businesses develop around retirement community areas? And there's another subset of this that would do that for you.
Furniture refinishing and golf.
We could do a golf star.
So who does this for Alloy? I mean, we're on the Economic Development Committee here.
Yep.
Is there somebody that is doing this research and going out and talking to businesses?
No.
Is that our job? Is that why we've got...
First of all, this subscription costs $10,000 a year. So I have a subscription.
Sure.
I mean, I'm willing to work with the committee to identify it and do it, but you couldn't afford it on your
own. Understood.
Yeah.
Let me just ask a broader question. Why hasn't anybody looked at this information, or maybe they have, and approached that site? Like, what steps need to happen? Usually there's a developer involved that then goes out and finds tenants or has a connection with a tenant, from what I understand, but you work with it much more. So what needs to happen for this site to be developed? I mean, could the village develop it if they put together XYZ or AB, you know, program? Do we need to try to attract a big developer to get this, somebody with some equity?
You know, we've had proposals on the site since I've been here, just, random ones here and there that the village board has looked at. The village board just approved hiring a real estate person, so we're just finishing up the contract with him. So once he's set, then he will start really going out and hitting the pavement for the village. We just haven't done that before. We don't have the staff or the capabilities. The people that have approached us have just kind of heard it through the grapevine, or maybe seen the sign on the property along the way and done some of their research themselves.
They've probably done some similar research and said, hey, this is where we want to build this old folks community.
Right. So
that's
the only caution I would give the village is I don't think you want to enter into a contract with a realtor. I think you can offer a development fee for anybody and then publicize this to all commercial developers. I mean, you're in real estate, right? I mean, if you link in with one, a lot of the commercial realtors in the area have relations with different retailers. Okay. For example, I know of one over on the west side that does everything with Prevea. Any Prevea clinic done is done through this one developer. He's got a link with Prevea. There's others that have relationships with CVS or Walgreens. So if you lock yourself into one, you're probably going to exclude that property from potential development by other commercial realtors because of their relationships.
How would you go about it then? We put it for sale ourselves, but we nothing's happening. So then how do you do it differently than finding someone to...
Well, I would, you're the expert in this, but I would just offer a fee to any... I would publicize a developer's fee to anyone in the real estate community. I'd send a letter to all of them saying X percent.
Oh, so if you find a developer, this is what you would get.
Right.
Can a real estate person, though, they can still work with someone that is working with Walmart. They would come to them. They'll say, you're the rep for Walmart, and I'm the real estate person for that property. They would come to me and say, hey, I'm interested in Walmart here or Walgreens or whatever. Then they would split that fee between the two of them is my understanding of it.
Commercial is a little different than residential. So
there is no exclusive listing.
Right. So we have, in residential, we have a multiple listing service that we have agreements with all the other brokers. Commercial brokers don't have that same agreement.
So if you put your house up for sale, you sign a 90-day guarantee with Olenichek Realty. It goes on the multiple listing. Any realtor...
Yeah.
Can see that and show the house.
Yeah, we all
in commercial, that doesn't exist. It's the Wild West.
And
they all hold their cards very closely.
Yeah, commercial is much more competitive.
Yeah.
That we do have a commercial MLS with our, we do offer broker co-op through our MLS system because that's the way we work. But a lot of the very large commercial brokers don't offer that cooperation.
Right. The biggest thing that they have is like a CoStar or LoopNet to kind of look at it, and there's no agreement on that. Again, like you said, to say you got to split a 60% commission, and they want to get as much commission as they can out of it. So if they're going to get a 10, and some of these people who are contracting to do this, they get good, really good commissions off of making and developing this site. So if they're going to lose half of it, they may try to find another site.
The probability is that if there's a develop, if you sign a contract with a realtor, mm-hmm. and another realtor has a potential commercial development for that site, they're going to come to you and try and talk you out of your contract with that other realtor, and they'll come to you and say, I've got this potential development, you got to sign with me. They're not going to share it with that other
okay.
realtor.
Okay.
Just how commercial
information works. We could have used a little earlier, but...
Well, and really the sale of the property came out of this. To get a real estate person came out of this group market push for that. Well, an e-check to get, you know, to get that done. So that's why we kind of pursued that and yeah. went out for an RFP and put that out there and then had everybody, you know, we had different real estate agents bid on it or mm-hmm. give us proposals back, so...
Which were all the same.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, the percentage is the same and
so,
all that
so
stuff.
So the bottom line is that whether you have to have somebody who is part of the multiple listing service that is offering broker cooperation, and not all brokers are realtors.
Sure.
Correct.
So you have to have somebody who's offering that broker cooperation.
Good. Well, in lieu of time, I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I'm thinking, you know, we're looking for our next item. I would motion that we yeah. postpone that again. But this would be a great topic for us to continue to focus on.
Oh, I really
if we have yeah. something that we can actually accomplish. Mm-hmm. So, Fred, do you see anything with what's happening that we could actually focus on with this to try to accomplish anything
with this?
Well, I think
the committee needs to take this data and analyze it and come up with.
I think I need more time to process it.
Yeah.
If you want, I could send this, scan it, and send it electronically for anybody that didn't have
yes.
it. We could do that.
That's fine. You may have it.
So
our electronic version.
Yeah.
That would be great.
If I can get a copy of it, that would be awesome.
Yeah,
we'll send copies.
Now, the one thing that I would encourage is that our strength is this health corridor that we got going.
Right.
You got
yes.
the hospitals.
Right.
And you just play to your strength, and you have thousands and thousands of people going to the hospitals there and
agreed.
Do the spin-off, and I would concentrate on this
yeah.
specialty
and,
that
and
you got.
And a lot of a conversation I know among the board has been that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
To keep the consistency there.
Play your strength.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, do we have
very
to,
interesting. Thank you.
Discussions on goals and objectives, that's okay if we table that to next time?
Yes.
Do we have to vote on that?
No.
Well, you could vote to table.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I second Ted's.
Okay. Next meeting and agenda, so we'll do the discussion on goals and objectives for 2014. Anything else?
Should we follow up on this a little bit? Should we all research a little bit? Just follow up.
It says I think should be discussed a small block development discussion, so it's already on there for the next meeting.
That's today.
I got mixed up. Sorry.
That happened.
I know. It's so easy.
Okay, so goals and objectives again, small box development.
So are you going to be here next time, you think, Fred?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So small box, continue.
Thanks, Fred.
Continue.
Let me just pull up a question for you.
And then,
Ted, do you want to put anything about
Do I have a motion to adjourn? I'm sorry, did you... How embarrassing.
Well, I'm just here to observe. I'm on the planning commission.
Okay.
I did two items, the historic preservation thing and this small box thing, I wanted to see just to have enough knowledge.
Roger.
Tracy.
Yeah.
Sorry. Do you want a copy of this information electronically?
Sure. Okay, great.
Could I get a copy of it, like the hard copy, though, at
yeah.
some point?
Yeah. Do you want to take one, and then I'll...
I'll take one. But yeah,
I would give you this one, but I'd need to scan. All right.
That's all right. I can get it.
You have one right there. Take that one.
Well, Jim's taking this one.
Well, why don't you, Jim,
okay,
why don't you give it to him,
and then
I can
scan
it
to Mark. And scan it to me. That'd be good.
Or Mark. Yeah, Mark's
yeah,
not
sure.
listening. Do you want me to just get it to Mark? Or
send it to me, too. Yeah.
Well,
that's really good report. Those are
will this come with it too? This prosperous.
Yeah, I just printed the top five that were listed.
The ones that are in here.
Okay.
Teresa,
that was excellent.
If you think that that's going to work, like if it's worth discussing, then yeah, we should put it on the agenda.
Okay.
What's that?
If you want to bring up real quick.
Jim had approached me. I approached Tracy that we should consider doing a universe or an alleyway site that has, I'm sorry, I'm drawing a little blank here, but
calendar.
Schedule of
events.
Events.
And the village webpage would probably be a great way to do that. We can work with the Convention Bureau, and anybody in Alloway can submit events that are going on, and maybe we charge businesses $100 a year to put their logo on the site. Mm. It's a map of of alloy that has Zesties on it, obviously.
I'm proposing this.
I'm going to pay for it. And then there's community events, Heritage Hill, like here's all the events. Somehow we develop a page that you can click on and see all the events, but you get, maybe it shows the next event, like May 15th is X, you know, this event, and it changes. You know, get some kind of interactive web page to show about events and the village band and when they're playing and just, but who's going to take that on? Who's going to man it and pay for it?
But how would, as an economic development committee, would we appoint somebody? I mean, I guess I'm not following it.
I think we put it on the next agenda for more conversation.
Yeah, we have an intern.
Put it on the agenda to make a motion to the board.
Yeah.
Good use.
Yeah.
That's what we do. We don't need to do anything with it. Just we
okay.
motion to the
yeah,
board.
Yeah, if you guys just want to discuss
it. We should still discuss it further. I
yes.
haven't had enough time to discuss
yeah.
it.
Yeah, a little bit of yes. a proposal to it.
How would I put that on here?
Just put it for next agenda.
No, I mean, how would I name it?
Discussion on creation of schedule events and calendar.
So
calendar.
It's not going to take more time.
That's hard. Actually, I didn't think about it.
Could take 10 minutes.
Because I mean, we wouldn't do anything.
There you go.
I mean, that's a techie person that
would
put on the website.
We would kind of develop a motion,
protocol, or an idea of what it would do and how it would look.
Okay. We'd want to discuss that.
We'd have to flesh that a little bit before we put it to the board.
All right, sounds good. Do I have a motion to adjourn?
I'll do that.
Second by Diane. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Have a good rest of the weekend.
Boy, it was a busy meeting.
Thanks, everybody.
That was very fun, you guys.
I learned a lot.
Yeah.
I'm excited to read.
Not a lot of slam realtors, but what the hell.
I don't know.
Commercial is much more.
Would you have been in public?